WMFO Medford. Unlike milk, long distance telephone calls, and library books, there is no due date, tolls, or expiration in the grand hour. Good morning. It's the 20th of November, 2019. Last week, I did a tribute to Veterans Day. So, as I indicated, I would follow last week's show up with a double billing. I got for the first half of the program today, a Frontier Gentleman. In the second portion, I have my personal favorite radio drama, The Six Shooter. So I guess I'll just go ahead and get going here. This is episode 19, Frontier Gentleman. It's titled The Belljoy's Prisoner. This had an original air date of the 8th of June, 1958. And it stars the gentleman who seems to be in every Western drama, John Daner. My name's Arthur. Thanks for listening this morning.
The events that took place in Shoshone, Wyoming Territory, are still something of a nightmare to me. This report to readers of the London Times will explain why recent dispatches have been delayed. Frontier Gentlemen. Herewith an Englishman's account of life and death in the West. As a reporter for the London Times, he writes his colorful and unusual stories. But as a man with a gun, he lives and becomes a part of the violent years in the new territories. Now, starring John Daner, this is the story of J.B. Kendall, Frontier Gentleman. The story of my journey to Yellowstone National Park began with a coach of the Yellowstone stage line pulling into the town of Shoshone, midway point between Bear Claw and the National Park. Beside myself, the coach carried a Mr. and Mrs. Willis of Baltimore and a thin young man of about 25 whose name was Black. As the driver pulled up in front of the Shoshone Hotel, a group of men came forward to meet us. One of them was wearing the badge of deputy sheriff.
Charlie? Well, this seems to be a nice little town.
Yes, it does. Let's stretch our legs, my dear. You getting help, Mr. Kendall?
Yes.
According to the schedule, seems we'll have our supper here.
You boys looking for somebody?
That's right, Charlie. You tell your passengers to just take it easy. Have them go into the hotel lobby.
Right. Ah, folks. Mr. Kendall, Mr. Willis.
Yes?
This here's C.B. Belljoy. He's deputy sheriff. Just for you all to go on in the hotel.
Well, I suppose we don't want to.
Well, then, Mr. Black, I reckon you'll have to take that up with him. That right, C.B.?
Mister, you wearing a gun?
No?
Then you got no choice, have you? Then you go on with the others. Just wait in the lobby. The sheriff will... Oh, no. Here he comes, right now.
Oh! Oh, Henry, look at him. He's so...
Mercy on a poor sinner.
Harry, remember, you, Clyde, boy, mine, son, did fine, just fine.
Thank you, Paul.
Son of mine, C.B.
Howdy, Sheriff.
Charlie, I hope we ain't put you out too much.
No, sir, we can stay over here tonight if you say so.
Good, And he's the passengers. Clyde, son of mine.
That's right, Paul.
Yeah. Ragtail bunch. Well, let's get it over with.
You folks go on in the lobby now. Go on.
Clyde, see here.
You help me get
Clyde. Stop sniveling. Help me up. Out of here. Here, you, boy.
I'm here, boy.
Son, now, that's it. Give me your hand.
Here you are, Paul.
Ain't bright, boy. But now then, pull. Hank. Pull. Hank. Somebody get behind me. That's it now. You two back there. Do that push. Jump. Pull. That's it.
He entered the hotel without further mishap, and we were instructed to take seats facing him. After we had complied, the deputy CB told us why we were being held there.
Paul got a telegraph message a while ago from the sheriff in Bear Claw. Mm. Now, it seems like somebody snuck into the Lucky Dollar Saloon office and walked off with a payroll just about when the stage was due to pull out. Yeah. The sheriff down there...
Ben Johnson.
Yes, Paul.
Johnson.
The sheriff...
Johnson.
Ben Johnson.
Ben, yeah.
He figures the man that did it rode off on the stage.
You mean you think it's one of us?
Well, that's what the sheriff in Bear Claw thinks.
Hey, look, Gildy. It could be in cahoots. Ah, boy.
Now, just a minute,
sir. Who's he?
What? Name's Willis, Paul. Says it's his wife traveling with him.
Woman looks like her. Gotta be his wife.
What?
Wife.
Sheriff, would you mind...
Don't bother me during court, mister.
Court?
That's right.
But this ain't a...
Right.
I mean, this can't be no court. Where's the judge and the jury?
Mr. Black, this here is Paul's court.
You mean it's kangaroo court?
Why, you call me a kangaroo, or you dirty? $50. Give me...
$50 for what?
Contempt for 50 days, which you decide.
But I... You can't... Mr. Kendall...
Excuse me, Sheriff. But according to law, a sheriff doesn't have the authority to exercise a fine from anyone in court. Only the judge can do that.
A judge just did it.
You mean he's the sheriff and the judge?
And the jury.
The jury.
And the mayor. And the town council.
Council. Executioner. Boy, you forgot. Executioner.
Well, that too. Executioner.
All
yes,
right.
Sir.
All right. Now we understand. Let's get on with it. Bring him to attention. Attention, son.
Yes, sir.
Son.
This court's hereby in session. Judge Granger Belljoy presiding.
First case. People against thief of the Lucky Dollar in Bellclaw. Oh, now, which one of them you reckon did it, son? Him?
Henry.
Sheriff, I...
Reckon not. No, no. She wouldn't let him loose long enough to rob a saloon. Must be you, mister.
No, Pa, that's the English fella.
Yeah, a foreigner. Pussy-footing foreigner.
That's how I figured.
No guts. Wouldn't do it if he was starving. Really livid, starving.
Well, that leaves him, Pa.
Yeah. Now, how do you plead? What's his name?
Black.
Name, how do you plead, Black?
Plead?
Yeah.
I ain't pleading no way to something I didn't do.
Innocent. But, boy, you look guilty as in... Might as well confess.
But I didn't do nothing.
Sheriff.
You keep out of this, Mr. Kendall.
Black, you say you're innocent.
Yeah.
I say you're guilty. You got witnesses.
Why, no, I got no...
Sheriff, Judge Belljoy, Your Honor, Sheriff.
Yeah, what is it, Charlie?
Judge, sir, Sam over the telegraph office told me to give you this.
Oh.
Just come in.
Now, let's see. Let's see that. Over. Off from the sheriff, Bear Claw, man robbed saloon known to be tall. All regards, Johnson. Tall.
Well, that lets me out.
Yeah, it sure does. It's got to be the Englishman, then, Paul.
Now, just a minute here.
Kendall, don't you try nothing.
Henry, help him, Paul.
Grab hold of that Englishman, boy.
I don't
boy,
need
grab.
To, Paul.
Grab.
He tries anything, I'll ventilate him with this here shooting iron.
Good. Good, son of mine. Good. Now, Kendall, I hereby sentence you to a term 2 years. Jail.
Being incarcerated in the Shoshone jail wasn't the most pleasant experience, but I did manage to sleep. And while I was oblivious to the cares of the outside world, I learned later that Sheriff Belljoy received another telegraph message from the sheriff of Bear Claw.
Read it out loud.
Yeah, John, read it. It says, the thief captured here has confessed robbing Lucky Dollar Saloon. Release your prisoner, signed John. Why, that lowdown. Ornery.
Oh, that means I ain't gonna have nobody to learn me manners in the line.
Yes, you are, child.
Me?
Your pa promised you, and there ain't nobody makes as good a teacher of manners as Dutch is a foreigner. Ain't that right, Granger?
I'm gonna have to let him go.
Why?
Oh.
Why can't you just pretend you didn't get no message?
You know why, woman.
You let him go. What's gonna become of me, Pa?
That's right. Look at her. Your own flesh and blood image.
Yeah.
Poor thing.
Yeah.
You think anybody's gonna pay her any mind when she don't even have good mannered learning?
Now, Loreen, sweet potato, mine, you...
Don't lard up to me.
Woman, it ain't my fault.
You don't want me to have no learning. English learning or nothing.
Oh, honey. Honey, part I do, but...
You want your daughter to have the best. You tear up that message. You'll make believe you never got it.
And the Englishman will be made a trustee like you promised, and he'll learn me all he knows, whether he likes it or not.
Granger, Belljoy. Married up.
Woman, you female. Crazy.
Ma! Female. Oh,
Pop! Oh, here now, don't overexcite yourself, honey, Pop. Best you be getting along to bed now.
Yes, Mom. Night, Pop!
Night.
You done right for her. And after a year or so, that Englishman might get used to her. Might even decide to stay here permanent.
The morning following my arrest, I was served an unusually tasty breakfast by an unusually beefy young woman named Mercy Day Belljoy. Between giggles, she managed to indicate that she admired foreigners. About an hour later, I was taken under guard into Sheriff Belljoy's office.
Here he is, Paul.
Kendall, I'm going to come to the point, if I can. Now, daughter mine, Mercy Day, to her mother, want you to learn her problem. Upper. Oh, boy, tell him.
Well, what Pa means, Mr. Kendall, is that he's offering you a chance to be somebody around here, a trustee. Come and go as you like, long as we have your word, you won't run off.
Yeah.
Now, how about it? Yeah. Well, you got something to say, ain't you?
I have more than something to say. Sheriff, has it ever occurred to you that I might have friends, business associates and the like, who will note my disappearance and start asking questions?
Well, like who?
Like who?
For your information, I happen to be a duly accredited correspondent of the London Times.
Well, now, what does that mean, Paul, that duly accredited?
Means his credit's good.
Oh, that's so.
That is not so. What it means is that the newspaper I work for expects to receive a journalistic report from me within the next fortnight. When they don't receive it, somebody's going to start asking questions. And when that happens, they'll start looking for me.
Pa, they ain't going to have much trouble finding him. Why, those folks on the stage...
They're long gone. On, I...
Yeah, but... Well, what about his writing?
They're going to receive it just the same as usual. Only, Kendall, you write one word about being in this predicament. Predicament. A mess. You won't get no food at no time. No time. You won't get out of that cell. Well.
That's it.
So.
Well, how about it, Kendall?
So.
Now, you want to eat, don't you? And that cell can get mighty small after being in it 24 hours steady. Now, are you going to do what Pa wants you to? Learn my little sister manners and behave yourself? Or are you going to stay in your cell?
Well, I don't seem to have much of a choice, do I?
No, sir. You sure don't.
The first lesson was arranged in the Belljoy backyard. I was escorted to the house, then turned loose in Mercy Day's lair. She was eager. One can say that for her. And she tried hard.
Mr. Kendall, I just love the way your lip curls up when you talk. Say it again for me.
How now, brown cow?
That's it! Oh, that's so pretty! Oh, there's my ma. I want her to hear that piece. Ma! This man's learning me so good!
Fine, honey pot.
How now, brown cow? Ain't that just a stuff?
That's fine.
She's doing fine, ain't you, mister?
Quite nicely.
What about her manners? You ain't forgetting her manners, are you?
He sure ain't. He already done told me a lady don't spit in front of a man, no matter how much she wants to.
Well, I declare. What's she supposed to do?
That's right. You didn't tell me that, mister. What's she supposed to do?
The lessons continued, and as the days passed, my hope for an early rescue waned. Even if someone did come to Shoshone to inquire about me, Belljoy would deny ever having seen a journalist from England. And as for my reports to the Times, well, Mercyday was a good cook, and I disliked going hungry. So the reports were sent off per contract, except for one small detail. Those mailed by Belljoy were almost verbatim copies of the first reports I sent home after arriving in this western wilderness. Sooner or later, someone would arrive to inquire about me. But when help did come, it was from an unexpected quarter.
Kendall, you come on out of there. My pa wants to talk to you.
Huh? What about?
You'll see, and I sure pity you. Why, he's sitting in the office with a bottle of whiskey in front of him, and his face so red, he looks like it's going to explode.
Go on. What's on? Who'll make her? He mails here.
No! He ain't none of them things.
Oh, he ain't. We'll see. You, Kendall. You, Kendall, over here.
Why, Mr. Kendall, how charming to
see you.
Paul. Before you get started, can I have a suck off of that bottle?
Boy, you get. Scott.
Yes, sir.
Kendall, you miserable female Stephen. Good night. Steaming.
Paul. He ain't.
Yeah.
It isn't none of that. He loves me.
He ain't in love. He's sick. Look at his face.
But he does love me. Tell him, Mr. Kendall.
Mercy Day. Sheriff, I...
It's all right, honey. You just speak up.
Sheriff, I have no intentions, honorable or otherwise, toward your daughter. I said what to you, Mercedes?
How do I love thee? Let me count the ways.
But that's poetry.
Sure is. Prettiest thing I ever heard.
Wait a minute. A minute now. You really did say such words to my little girl, Kendall?
He just admitted it.
Well, yes. But that's part of your...
Part of courting me, huh, honey pot? Paul, why don't you pronounce us man and wife right now?
Later, much later, I returned to my cell, still a bachelor, a state Mercedes seemed determined to change. Belljoy had ordered the lesson stopped, my privileges as trustee rescinded. I was contemplating my dark future when I heard it. A scraping sound, just outside my cell.
Kendall. You, Kendall, come over to the window.
Who is it?
Me, Charlie. the driver.
I thought you and everybody else had forgotten about me.
No, just waiting for the right time. Besides, I couldn't do nothing as long as I was sitting atop the stage. And I had to wait for my day off, which is now.
Charlie, take a message
to... No, no, don't fool with messages. I aim to get you out of there.
If you do, I'll be in your debt forever.
Hush all that jabber. Ain't no time for it. Now, look, the stage leaves for Bear Claw in half an hour. And you're going to be on it.
Well, how?
Yeah, with this. You know how to use one of those, don't you?
Oh, yes.
Good.
Yes, I do.
Now, the sheriff's going to dinner. Won't be back. Only CB's here. Just don't shoot anybody you don't have to. Oh, and remember, half an hour. You just be out front, wave, and the stage will stop. I won't be driving, but it's all set so you can get aboard.
Thanks, Charlie. Oh, Charlie, Charlie. Why are you doing this?
Well, Mr. Kendall, you won't believe this, but you know that little gal, that Mercy Day?
Oh.
You're ruining her, teaching her good manners and such. She thinks she's getting too good for me. Now, you keep on. She won't marry me ever.
You know the saying, one man's meat is another's... Well, you know it. 15 minutes later, I walked to the door of my cell and yelled for C.B. He responded, took one look at the gun in my hand, and promptly agreed to surrender his gun and step into my cell, which I just as promptly locked. A few minutes later, the stage pulled up, and I stepped aboard. It wasn't until some time after I returned to Bearclaw that I was told what had happened when Sheriff Belljoy learned of my escape. He was sitting on his back porch with Charlie, the driver.
So he lit out like a big saddle bird.
Boy, good. He fell for it. I really thought he was escaping. Oh, my. Pussyfooter, huh? Now, Charlie, you remember now. Remember now, the women got to think that he really, really escaped.
Yes, sir. Don't worry. I'll remember.
Good. Maybe someday you'll be assistant deputy. You like that, Charlie Waugh?
Like it.
What?
Yes, sir, Mr. Belljoy. That'd be just fine.
Sticky females. Bad enough having them practice manners, talking English. You know, Charlie boy, I couldn't spit in front of them anymore.
No.
For a fact. And if you think that I'd let that Giggle Patch daughter of mine, marry up with something like him, a pussyfooting foreigner, boy, you drive a Charlie boy. How would you like to be my son-in-law, Charlie?
Well, Sheriff? Judge?
Mayor?
I'd like it just fine.
Good, yeah. Son-in-law mine, Charlie boy. Good.
Frontier Gentleman was produced and directed by Anthony Ellis and stars John Daner as J.B. Kendall. Mr. Daner was also heard as Sheriff Belljoy. The story was written by Charles B. Smith. Featured in the cast were Richard Perkins, Virginia Gregg, Ron Meader, Jeanette Nolan, Harry Bartell, and Stacey Harris. Join us again next week for another report from the Frontier Gentleman. Alan Botzer speaking.
Thank you, lads. There you had The Belljoy's Prisoner, episode 19, Frontier Gentleman. It was originally aired on the 8th of June, 1958. You can see John Daner did a double role there. And he seemed to be everywhere in all these westerns. He was Paladin and Have Gun Will Travel. He did audition program for Captain Pent. What's his name there for Fort Laramie? Ultimately, Raymond Burr got that role. Okay, I'm going to fulfill an FCC obligation. And we're on to the second portion of the program. You're listening to Arthur here on 91.5 FM, Medford, and or WMFO.org.
This is a firearm safety PSA. No matter how you feel about current gun laws, everybody should know the most critical rules about handling any firearm. Rule 0, all guns are always loaded. Rule 1, never point a gun at anything you are not willing to destroy. Rule 2, keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you have made the decision to shoot. Rule 3, be sure of your target and what is beyond it. A public safety message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Medford. Thank you, Digital George and Digital Henry. After all, I believe it is hunting season. Perhaps, I don't know. Should be hunting season. It's about that time. Okay, second part of the program. We have episode 34 of my personal favorite radio drama, The Six Shooter. This was a fan favorite, too. When we were at the old time slot between 6 and 7, had a lot of folks calling up about this one. This one's titled The Shooting of Wyatt King, then original air date of the 20th of May, 1954. I'm just going to go ahead and play through let the whole thing roll. Again, this is Arthur with the Grand Hour here on 91.5. Thanks for listening.
In a moment, you'll hear James Stewart as the Six Shooter. Just one of many fine programs brought to you each week on NBC. Tomorrow night, there's top comedy entertainment with The Bob Hope Show, The Phil Harris Alice Faye Show, and Can You Top This with Senator Ford. Bob Hope delivers rapid-fire comedy routines, while Phil Harris and Alice Faye bring both mirth and music. A great Friday night lineup of comedy programs, all of them heard only on NBC. James Stewart as the Six Shooter. Saddle is angular and long-legged. His skin is sun-dyed brown. The gun in his holster is gray steel and rainbow mother of pearl, its handle unmarked. People call them both the Six Shooter. The NBC Radio Network presents James Stewart as the Six Shooter, a transcribed series of radio dramas based on the life of Britt Ponsett, the Texas plainsman who wandered through the Western territories, leaving behind a trail of still-remembered legends.
Keep your shirt on. Keep your shirt on. Bank don't open till 9 a.m. You got 5 minutes to wait.
It's me, Mac Hawkins. I got some news for you, Ollie.
News?
About Wyatt King.
Mm. Oh, oh.
Yeah, what's happened, mate?
They got him.
No.
Yeah. Sheriff Hemphill's bringing him into town now. The posse come by my ranch about a half hour ago. I took right off so as I could spread the word.
Well, I just can't believe it.
That's right, they got him.
Spud Hemphill capturing a Wyoming kid?
Yeah.
Oh, not that Spud ain't been a good sheriff, but, nobody's ever been able to lay a hand on Wyatt King before.
Well, the sheriff didn't exactly capture him, Ollie.
Well, I thought you said he...
Well, the sheriff's bringing him in, and that's true enough, but the way I understand it, the posse just sort of stumbled onto the kid.
What?
Yeah, that's what they say. He was laying in a grove of sycamores over by Tenderfoot Creek.
Dead, huh?
No, but he'd been shot up some, a bullet in his belly. Must have been hit at close range. He was still out cold when they went past my place.
Well, Spud say who shot him and left him laying there?
They just don't seem to know, Ollie.
Well, he was in mighty good health when he rode out of here yesterday, carting off $2,500 from my bank vault here.
And your money was still on him. No need for you to worry about it.
Good morning, Mr. Owen. I'm sorry I'm late. Matilda had one of her dizzy spells this morning, and I had to wait until Doc McIntyre got there.
Jonas, you hear about Wyatt King?
Wyatt King?
The fella who held me up yesterday.
Oh, why, I thought they called him something else, some kind of kid.
That's right, the Wyoming kid.
Yeah.
Well, his real name is Wyatt King.
Oh.
Don't you ever read them reward notices down to the post office?
Well, I just don't remember names very good, I guess.
Oh,
what about Mr. King?
Well, he's been captured.
You don't say?
Yes, the sheriff found him down at Tenderfoot Creek. He was all shot up.
My.
And the darndest thing is, nobody knows who shot him.
Well, what's so peculiar about that?
Well, in the first place, the fellow who done it, he'd stand to collect a mighty nice reward. All them holdups King's pulled, well, there must be at least $5,000 offered for him, dead or alive.
My, that sure is a lot of money. Well, I better get over to my desk and start working on the account.
Ollie, that ain't the only strange thing about this here business.
What are you driving?
Well, I told you the kid had been shot at close range. That means somebody met up with him face to face. He wasn't dry gulched or nothing like that.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
And it would take a mighty big man to stand up to Wyatt King and a mighty fast man to outdraw him.
Yeah. He was supposed to be lightning gunfighter.
There's about 10 graves that'll testify to that.
Yeah. There sure ain't nobody around here. Well, leastways, I can't think of anybody. Can you, man?
No, can't. Not a single solitary soul. I've been racking my brain ever since I...
Yeah.
...heard what had happened.
Morning, Johns.
Yes, sir. What can I do for you?
You the banker?
That's right, Mr.
Name is Ponsett, Brett Ponsett.
Well, I'm pleased to meet you, Mr. Ponsett. I'm Oliver Rowan.
Howdy. I got a little check here. I was wondering if you...
Did you say Brett Ponsett?
That's right.
Well, I'll be doggone.
What's the matter, man?
Why, he's a six shooter, Ollie.
The six shooter?
Ain't that right, Mr. Ponsett?
Well, I guess folks call me...
There. Well, what did I tell you? Well, sir, I guess we don't have to do no more wondering about who shot up Wyatt King.
What?
Well, sir, we're all mighty grateful, Mr. Ponsett.
Hold on.
If we'd have known you was in these parts, we wouldn't have had no doubts in the first place. No, sir.
I'm afraid I don't follow you.
You're the fellow who shot it out with King last night, ain't you? Well, it must have been you. It couldn't have been nobody else.
Why, of course it was him, Ollie. There ain't no doubt about it. I said it would take a fast man to outdraw the kid. Well, the six-shooter's just about the fastest man west of the Mississippi from the way I hear it.
Well, that's mighty flattering, but as far as outdrawing Wyatt King, well, I wouldn't know about that since how we never met up.
Never met up?
No.
Oh, you mean you didn't recognize him last night?
Last night?
Well, whenever it was you shot him.
Now, let's get this straight, gents. I didn't shoot Wyatt King last night or any other time. I've never laid eyes on him.
Well, if it wasn't you, then who did do it?
I sure wouldn't know. I rode down the trail from Fort Drexel. I didn't see any sign of Wyatt King or anybody else.
Tenderfoot Creek's just off that trail.
Is that so?
Well, if Mr. Ponsett says he didn't do it, I guess he didn't.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute.
Hmm?
Sure. Why didn't I think of it before?
Yeah, I think what?
Everybody knows that the six-shooter don't like to take credit for what he does. He's the sort of man that hides his lamp under a bushel.
Hmm.
Well, you ain't going to get away with it here in Copper Springs, Mr. Ponson.
You're absolutely right, man.
Yeah.
All right, shooting an outlaw like Wyatt King ain't nothing to be ashamed of.
Well,
Mr. Ponson, you ought to be proud of yourself.
Well, maybe I would if I'd done it.
Hey, the fact is, there's Posse now. Just wait
till
I tell Sheriff
Hanfield
about this.
Here, now.
Wait a minute, Mac.
I'm coming
with you.
Listen to me, will you?
You mind the bank?
Yes, sir, Mr. Rowan.
Now, Mr. Rowan, hey, why do you... well, I'll be darned. Well, I never saw anything like it. For the next half hour, folks came up to me from all directions, all saying I'd shot Wyatt King, giving me their congratulations. I told them I hadn't had anything to do with it, but they just wouldn't be convinced. And I didn't see how I could straighten them out on it. It did make me feel kind of funny, though, all this hullabaloo over a misunderstanding. And then when the mayor said something about letting the kids out of school for a day in my honor, well, I just had to find some way of putting a stop to it, so I headed over to the jail and introduced myself to Sheriff Hampton.
Sir, it's a privilege to meet you, Mr. Ponson. A real privilege.
Yeah, it's a privilege, yes.
Oh, not that I wouldn't have caught up with King myself sooner or later, but you kind of speeded up the operation.
Yes. Now, that's what I wanted to talk to you about, Sheriff.
Oh, now, don't you worry about the reward. I'll see that you get it.
No, I'm not interested in any reward.
Well, yeah, everybody says you're the generous type. I heard that.
Well, I'm not that generous, Sheriff. Now, I reckon I'd take the reward if I was entitled to it.
Oh, now, Mr.
Sheriff,
Ponson.
Sheriff, you've got to listen to me now. I didn't shoot Wyatt King.
Well, I heard you've been trying to ease out of taking the credit.
I'm not trying to do anything except tell you the truth. Now, you ask King when he comes to. You'll find out.
Oh, he came to a little while ago, Mr. Ponson. Right after Doc McIntyre got through patching him up. He's practically as good as new now.
Well, go on. Ask him if I had anything to do with shooting him.
Why should I ask him again?
Again?
Well, sure. As soon as he was able to talk, I questioned him.
Well?
He says you made a lucky draw, Mr. Ponson. Of course, that's just an alibi.
No. Now, wait a minute here. Do you mean to say that Wyatt King claims I shot him?
Huh? Well, you're the six-shooter, ain't you?
Well,
that's who he says done it.
I just couldn't believe my ears. I never laid eyes on this Wyoming kid my whole life. Oh, I'd heard plenty about him, of course. All his escapades. He had quite a reputation. Well, Sheriff Hemphill wasn't even easier to convince than the rest of the folks had been. So finally I asked him if he'd mind letting me talk to King. The fellow who'd shot him must have resembled me in some way. At least that's what I figured. And I was certain that once we met head on, the King would see that he'd been wrong.
Well, Wyatt?
Huh?
This the man who shot you?
Why do you have to keep going over that, Sheriff? I told you who'd done it.
Yeah, but Mr. Ponson here kind of disagrees with you.
I sure do.
Oh?
Now, let's just get this thing straightened out once and for all, and then we won't have
What's the matter with you, Britt? You was ready enough to pull the trigger last night. Why are you trying to lie out of it now?
To pull the... Why, you know we've never run into each other before, last night or any other time.
I got a bandage on my belly that says different.
Now, take a good look at me, Wyatt. Now, maybe in the dark you sort of thought that the fellow, well, maybe there was a likeness.
You got a twin brother.
Of course I've got no twin brother.
If you ain't got a twin brother, then it was you that shot me. And it wasn't very dark either. Don't you remember the way we were standing there in the moonlight and the way you went for your gun, the same gun you're wearing right now? I sure ain't likely to forget it.
Look here, Sheriff. Now, you listen to me. I don't know what's the matter with this case. You must have gone loco or something, but I give you my word.
Mr. Ponson, we all know how you feel about accepting honors and having folks look up to you. But this is one time you just ain't going to be able to get away with it. As a matter of fact, I believe there's some kind of a doings planned over at the town hall later on this afternoon. After the parade, that is.
The parade? Oh, now, you just hold on here. Now, before everybody starts tearing around in circles, I'd like to talk to Wyatt alone, if you don't mind.
What for?
Well, I... Just give me a couple of minutes with him, Sheriff.
All right, but I sure don't see what you hope to gain by it. I'll have to lock you in with him, though. Can't take no chances with a man like King. Give a holler when you want out.
All right, King. I want the truth.
Well, I ain't the one who's loco, Ponset. You are. That's a pretty big reward for me.
There's a reward for the fella who captured you.
Well, as long as I keep saying you're the fella you can collect, I'm doing you a favor.
Well, maybe I don't happen to want any favor from you.
Well, don't look like you got much choice in the matter, does it? Of course, just between the two of us. Now, seeing you right close like that, it might have been somebody else who shot me.
You know doggone well it was.
Well, even if it was, even if I was mistaken about it, I sure wouldn't admit it.
I don't see why not.
Oh, now, Mr. Ponset, you don't think I want folks to know I was outdrawn by a little fellow with gray hair and a pot belly?
Oh, how's that?
A man nobody's heard of, a grocery clerk or a sod buster. That's what he looked like to me. Why, he even had a ready-made suit on, a coat and pants cut out of the same cloth. Stiff collar. And a necktie. I never supposed a man like him would know how to use a gun. Otherwise, I'd been more careful.
Well, at least we finally got down to the truth, huh? Now, all you got to do is tell the sheriff and we'll...
I'm not telling anybody else, Ponson. And I got an idea your telling them won't make much difference.
What?
Not as long as I keep saying it was you that shot me. And, of course, that's what I'm going to say. I ain't got no choice.
Well, you haven't got any reason to lie about it.
Well, now, look, it's one thing to be outshot by Britt Ponset. That ain't so hard to swallow. But the idea of being outdrawn by a nobody. Well, I wouldn't be able to face my friends again after I break out of jail. They'd all have a laugh on me. Yes, sir. It sure was a lucky break when the sheriff come in and said you was in town. Yeah. Asked if you was the one that shot me.
You're not going to get away with this, King.
Well,
know.
I'm sorry if it upset you, Ponset, but after all, I got my reputation to consider.
Your reputation? Why, I never heard of such a thing.
Sheriff, get me out of here!
We'll return to James Stewart as the Six Shooter in just a moment. Each year, forest fires take a tragic toll, destroying the natural resources that are vital to our nation's strength. Remember, one moment of carelessness can destroy national beauty and wealth that can never be replaced. Forest fires have been called America's most shameful waste because they can be prevented. Don't fail to do your part in preventing them. Don't be guilty of starting one. Act Two of The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart as Britt Ponset.
Well, I knew that there wasn't any point in hanging around the jail trying to make Sheriff Hemphill believe what Wyatt King had told me. King was right. As long as he kept insisting that I shot him, I wasn't going to be able to convince anybody of the truth. Unless... the man who really did shoot him. I was walking down the main street, passing the bank, when I remembered what King had said. A gray-haired fellow with a pot belly, wearing a ready-made suit and a stiff collar and tie. I'd seen somebody who looked like that. I couldn't think where. Where was it? And then I just happened to glance into the bank.
Yes, sir, what can I do? Oh, you're Mr. Ponset, ain't you?
That's right.
Why, you sure stirred up a lot of talk, Mr. Ponset. The whole town,
gee. Yeah, yeah, I know.
Mr. Rowan just stepped out for a couple of minutes, but
if there's anything I can do.
You're the teller, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh.
Been with the bank for 26 years now.
You don't say.
The name's Jonas Pilgrim, Mr. Ponsett.
Well, pleased to meet you, Mr. Pilgrim.
Of course, if you're in a hurry for something, maybe I could find Mr. Rowan.
No. As a matter of fact, it was you I wanted to talk to.
Me?
Yes. Yes. You see, I've just come from a session with Wyatt King over at the jail.
Oh?
And, he told me about the shooting last night.
Uh-huh. That's real interesting, Mr. Ponsett. Well, I've got some statements to get out now, so if you don't mind, I...
And King told me about the man who did it.
Oh, see.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's a funny thing, Mr. Pilgrim. The description he gave me sure fits you right down to that tie you're wearing. And to come to think of it, you're just about the only person in town that does fit.
I don't know what you mean, sir.
Well, you don't, huh? You don't. Well, it was nice talking to you.
Mr. Ponsett.
Yeah?
You won't mention this to anybody else.
Well, I don't see what difference it makes as long as it wasn't you he was talking about.
Well, it might be kind of embarrassing.
Just what do you mean?
Well, all right. All right, I'll admit it to you, Mr. Ponsett. But you got to promise me you won't tell anybody else. You got to give me your word.
You shot him, huh?
I didn't intend to. I didn't even know who he was. You see, I wasn't here when he held up the bank.
Oh?
I was on my way back to town from Winter Tolliver's ranch. I'd rid out to tell her that her account was overdrawn again.
Uh-huh.
And this fella, he come at me out of the dark. Told me he wanted my horse. I didn't even stop to think. I just grabbed my gun and let fire. I never should have done it, Mr. Ponsett. I don't know what got into me.
You're sorry you shot a man like Wyatt King?
No, not exactly, but it's kind of hard to explain. The fact is, I'm married, Mr. Ponsett. And Matilda, that's my wife. Matilda's kind of particular about some things. She's real particular about me. That's why I gotta wear this doggone collar. Just cuts my neck so I can hardly stand it sometimes.
Is that so?
Well,
shame. I sure feel sorry for you, Jonas, but I don't see what that's got any connection with.
Well, now, Mr. Ponsett, if don't you see, if Matilda knew, if I so much as carried a gun, well, she'd just have a conniption fit. And if she was to find out that I used to be, well, kind of experienced in gunplay, why, she'd just raise the roof. I don't think that she'd ever let me get out of her sight after that. You see, I never told her that when I was younger, I used to be sort of quick on the trigger.
I'll be doggone. Well, I take it your talents haven't exactly deserted you, huh?
Well, sir, that was the doggonest thing. I wouldn't even had that dang revolver with me, except that Widow Tolliver had given me some money to deposit, and she was real worried about my getting it into town. All right, you see. It was old Smith Tolliver's gun. She insisted on loaning it to me.
I see.
When this Wyatt King jumped up at me, well, I guess some of my old instincts must have come through. Leastways, the next thing I knew, he was laying there in the dirt, not moving.
Yeah, I'll be darned.
Now, mind you, I wasn't a gunfighter in my younger days. But I did kind of manage to shoot my way out of a few scrapes. I guess I don't look much like it now, do I?
Well, a man's liable to do a certain amount of aging, I expect.
Sometimes I think I've done more than my share. Well, anyway, I suppose you can see now why I don't want folks to know what happened last night about me and Wyatt King.
Yeah, I guess you've got a point, Jonas. But I can't go on taking the credit for what you did.
Well, Mr. Ponsett, you give me your word on it.
No, I didn't do any such thing.
Well, you sure did. Why, I wouldn't have been telling all this if I didn't. What in tarnation? Mr. Hawkins! Mr. Hawkins, what's all the rumpus about?
Wyatt King here just broke out of jail.
He broke out of jail?
Yeah, some darn fool forgot to lock his cell. Sheriff thinks he's heading toward Badwater Falls. We're getting a posse together.
For goodness sake.
Well, we won't be needing you, Jonas.
Oh, no. Of course not. No.
But the sheriff was real anxious to have you come along, Mr. Ponsett.
Is that so? Well, I'm sorry. I won't be able to oblige.
But you've already captured Wyatt once.
Well, let's just say that once was enough. As a matter of fact, I'm friggin' on leaving town. Which way is Badwater Falls?
South. Due south.
Uh-huh. I'm heading north. So long. Well, inside of 5 minutes, the whole town of Copper Springs had ridden off in a southerly direction. The male population, that is. I guess Jonas and I were about the only two men that hadn't joined up with the sheriff's posse. In a way, I was kind of relieved that King had broken out of jail. At least I'd be able to leave town without any more of this foolishness about me capturing him. Oh, not that I ever wanted a fellow like King to go free, you understand, but I figured the posse would probably catch up to him pretty soon. He couldn't have had much of a head start. So I headed over to the livery stable to get Scar. I'd already paid for his keep in advance, but the man who ran the stable had gone off with the others, and I didn't feel like sticking around for the refund. Easy, boy. Easy, Scar. I looked around for his saddle. It was lying on the floor over by a pile of hay. And just as I picked it up, I noticed something funny about the hay. It was starting to move.
Just keep holding on to that saddle, Ponsett, and don't reach for your gun.
Wyatt.
If you make a move, I'll ram this pitchfork right through you.
Oh, you're crazy, Wyatt. You'll never get out of town.
There ain't nobody left in town to stop me, except you.
You got a wound in your belly. That'll stop you.
Don't worry about me, Ponsett. I'll make out. Now I'm taking your gun and your horse.
There are plenty of other horses here.
I'm taking yours.
Wyatt.
Shut up or you'll get a taste of these problems.
Well, there wasn't any point in my arguing about it, not with a pitchfork digging into my chest. So I waited until he reached out a hand for my gun, and I gave that saddle a little toss. Caught him right in the neck. He went over backwards. I started to go for my holster, but Wyatt stuck out the handle of that pitchfork, and the next thing I knew, I was down the floor beside him. He banged his fist into my face, and I felt his hands go for my throat. I managed to get up on a knee and flipped him over. I heisted myself onto my knee, but he let loose with a kick, and I went flat again. I got a glimpse of his boot coming into my face, and I just got out of the way in time. And then he missed me and almost lost his balance, and I had time to get on my feet again. I came charging in with both fists again, and one of them whipped past my ear, and the other one smashed into my shoulder. And that left him wide open. I just couldn't leave him lying there on the floor unconscious. I figured it wouldn't be very long before he came to, so I picked him up and carted him across the street to where he belonged. The jail was completely deserted, and there wasn't a sign of anybody, but the door to Wyatt's cell was unlocked, so I laid him on the cot inside and pulled the blanket up over him. I didn't want him to catch cold or anything like that. And I found the key in the front office, and I locked him in. Hey, Jonas. Hold up a minute, Jonas.
Mr. Ponsett, what? I thought you'd left town.
I'm leaving right away, Jonas, right away. That is, if you'll do me a little favor.
A favor?
Yeah, you're through for the day with the bank, aren't you?
Oh, yes. We close at 4 o'clock sharp. I'm on my way home now.
Uh-huh. Well, now, I was wondering if you'd mind putting off your supper a little bit.
Well, Matilda.
Until the posse comes back, that is.
What for, Mr. Ponsett?
Well, you see, I was over at the jail just a minute ago, and there's nobody over there watching things while the sheriff's out of town.
Well, I don't see what difference it makes. Wyatt King was the only prisoner, and he's escaped.
Yeah. But even so, suppose somebody were to break in. They could do a lot of damage, you know. The sheriff's probably got some important papers in the file.
No, and Mr. Ponsett.
No, but you never know, Jonas. You never know about things like that.
Well, I guess the sheriff should have locked up when he left, but I don't see what...
Well, then you won't mind holding down the fort while he's gone.
Well, as long as there aren't any prisoners to look after...
I just wouldn't feel right about running off if there wasn't somebody to mind the jail.
Well, Mr. Ponce, it sure seems to me like you're worrying unnecessarily, but... Well, I guess I can do that much for you.
Thanks, Jonas. I really appreciate it. All you have to do is sit in the front office until somebody shows up.
All right, Mr. Ponce. I'll get right over there.
Go on, Jonas. Good luck to you.
Yeah. Mr. Ponce.
Yeah?
I hope you aren't put out about my letting folks think it was you who shot Wyatt King last night.
Oh, I guess I'll get over it.
After all, sometimes it is best if a man takes a responsibility for something, even if he hasn't done it himself.
What? Yeah. Yeah, I guess that. Yeah. Well, I'll be seeing you. I tell you what, I got out of Copper Springs fast as I could. I just wasn't sure how things were going to work out. But then, a couple of weeks later, a copy of the Copper Springs Press caught up with me. And there was Jonas Pilgrim's picture all over the front page. Yes, sir. A great big article telling how the sheriff and his posse had come back to town without finding a trace of Wyatt. And there he was, right in the jail. And there was Jonas Pilgrim snoozing in the front office, calm as a cucumber. Modest Pilgrim, that's what the paper called Jonas. He said he'd tried to deny having anything to do with Wyatt's capture, but the folks in Copper Springs, they just hadn't believed him. Well, it was plain as day that he'd taken Wyatt single-handed. Well, like Jonas said, sometimes it's best for a man to take the responsibility of a thing, even if he hasn't done it.
The Six Shooter is a transcribed NBC Radio Network production in association with Review Productions. It is written by Frank Burt and is based on a character created by him. Mr. Stewart may currently be seen in the Universal International picture, The Glenn Miller Story. Others in the cast were Bill Johnstone, Herb Vigran, Junius Matthews, Barney Phillips, and Joel Cranston. Special music for this program was by Basil Adlam, and the entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. All characters and incidents were fictitious, and any resemblance to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. Oh, by the way, you'll be interested in knowing that the Six Shooter has been chosen for broadcast to our men overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Services. This is John Wall speaking.
That was the 34th episode of The Six Shooter, titled The Shooting of Wyatt King, with an original air date of the 20th of May, 1954. The Six Shooter only ran for one season. It was a sustained show. It never had a formal sponsor. They were able to get some PSAs mixed in there between their acts. It's surprising. Well, first of all, I was surprised that John Daner did double role when I played Frontier Gentleman's The Bell Joy's Prisoner earlier in the program. But about The Six Shooter, I'm surprised Parley Bear, he must have taken the week off for that one, because just like Dana, he seemed to be in every Western. Every Western. He never had a title role, but he was always a character actor in darn near all these Westerns. I don't know if he has any relation to Max Bear from Beverly Hillbillies fame. Well, I've been listening to Arthur here on the Grand Hour on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org, where you can go into the archive section and hear shows that you might have missed. Just go ahead and hit schedule, find the show, program that you like. go on, start clicking from there. It'll bring you up to the archive link and so forth. Well, thanks again. Everybody have a nice day. Thanksgiving's next week. Don't know what I'm going to do for a show. Carte Blanche Breakfast should be up next. They might have issues getting into the studio.